From God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ, grace and peace be to you all. Let us pray. Almighty and ever-living God, you are always more ready to hear than we are to pray, and you gladly give more than we either desire or deserve. Pour upon us your abundant mercy. Forgive us those things that weigh on our conscience, and give us those good things that come only through your Son, Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord. Please be seated.
A reading from Genesis. The Lord said, "How great is the outcry against Sodom and Gomorrah, and how very grave their sin. I must go down and see whether they have done altogether according to the outcry that has come to me, and if not, I will know." So the men turned from there and went to Sodom, while Abraham remained standing before the Lord. Then Abraham came near and said, "Will you indeed sweep away the righteous with the wicked? Suppose there are 50 righteous within the city. Will you then sweep away the place and not forgive it for the 50 righteous who are in it? Far be it from you to do such a thing, to slay the righteous with the wicked, so that the righteous fare as the wicked. Far be that from you. Shall not the judge of all the earth do what is just?" And the Lord said, "If I find at Sodom 50 righteous in the city, I will forgive the whole place for their sake." Abraham answered, "Let me take it upon myself to speak to the Lord, I who am but dust and ashes. Suppose 5 of the 50 righteous are lacking. Will you destroy the whole city for lack of 5? And he said, "I will not destroy it if I find 45 there." Again he spoke to him, "Suppose 40 are found there." He answered, "For the sake of 40, I will not do it." Then he said, "Oh, do not let the Lord be angry if I speak. Suppose 30 are found there." He answered, "I will not do it if I find 30. He said, "Let me take it upon myself to speak to the Lord. Suppose 20 are found there." He answered, "For the sake of 20, I will not destroy it." Then he said, "Oh, do not let the Lord be angry if I speak just once more. Suppose 10 are found there." He answered, "For the sake of 10, I will not destroy it." Word of God, word of life. Let us pray Psalm 138 responsively. "I will give thanks to you, O Lord, with my whole heart. Before the gods, I will sing your praise.
I will bow
down before your holy temple and praise your name because of your steadfast love and faithfulness. For you have glorified your name and your word above all things. When I called, you answered me. You increased my strength within me. All the rulers of the earth will praise you, O Lord, when they have heard the words of your mouth. They will sing of the ways of the Lord, that great is the glory of the Lord.
The Lord is high,
yet cares for the lowly, perceiving the haughty from afar. Though I walk in the midst of trouble, you keep me safe. You stretch forth your hand against the fury of my enemies. Your right hand shall save me. You will make good your promise to me, O Lord, forever.
Do
not abandon the works of your hands. Glory to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever. Amen." A reading from Galatians. "As you therefore have received Christ Jesus the Lord, continue to live your lives in him, rooted and built up in him and established in the faith, just as you were taught, abounding in thanksgiving. See to it that no one takes you captive through philosophy and empty deceit, according to the human tradition, according to the elemental spirits of the universe, and not according to Christ. For in him the whole fullness of deity dwells bodily, and you have come to fullness in him, who is the head of every ruler and authority. In him Also, you were circumcised with a spiritual circumcision by putting off the body of the flesh in the circumcision of Christ when you were buried with him in baptism. You were also raised with him through faith in the power of God who raised him from the dead. And when you were dead in trespasses and in uncircumcision of your flesh, God made you alive together with him when he forgave us all our trespasses, erasing the record that stood against us with its legal demands. He set this aside, nailing it to the cross. He disarmed the rulers and authorities and made a public example of them, triumphing over them all. Word of God, word of life.
The Holy Gospel according to Luke. Jesus was praying in a certain place, and after he had finished, one of his disciples said to him, "Lord, teach us to pray, as John taught his disciples." He said to them, "When you pray, say, 'Father, hallowed be your name, your kingdom come. Give us each day our daily bread, and forgive us our sins, for we ourselves forgive everyone indebted to us. And do not bring us to the time of trial.' And he said to them, 'Suppose one of you has a friend, and you go to him at midnight and say to him, "Friend, lend me 3 loaves of bread, for a friend of mine has arrived, and I have nothing to set before him." And he answers from within, "Do not bother me. The door has already been locked, and my children are with me in bed. I cannot get up and give you anything." I tell you, even though he will not get up and give him anything because he is his friend, at least because of his persistence, he will get up and give him whatever he needs. So I say to you, ask and it will be given you. Search and you will find. Knock, and the door will be opened for you. For everyone who asks receives, and everyone who searches finds, and for everyone who knocks, the door will be opened. Is there anyone among you who, if your child asks for a fish, will give a snake instead of a fish? Or if the child asks for an egg, will give a scorpion? If you then, who are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will the Heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him?" The Gospel of the Lord.
I remember growing up seeing religious pictures in my grandparents' house and seeing those same similar pictures in every house in our neighborhood. In the dining room is a picture of an old man sitting at a table, head bowed in prayer, soup bowl and bread on the table. Maybe you know that picture. Does anybody know that picture? You've seen that too. In the hallway, a picture of Jesus kneeling at a rock with his head down in the Garden of Gethsemane. Anybody see that picture in their house or in their neighbor's house? And in the child's bedroom, in every child's bedroom, was this picture of children crossing a bridge and the angel behind or near the child kind of protecting. Anybody see that picture? There's one other picture that that you may be familiar with that we had in our home. We just had these little, I was looking for it this morning. I think I have it, but I couldn't find it. Little brown fake wood picture carving of Jesus standing knocking at the door. Knocking at the door, that passage from the book of Revelation, "See, I stand at the door and knock." And I always found that little picture very interesting because there was no door handle on the outside, but there's only a door handle on the inside. And my grandmother giving me this long lecture about how God knocks on our door.
that scene came to my mind, that picture came to my mind as I read this passage about the neighbor knocking at the door of his friend. Well, imagine this scene. You're home alone after what has been a rather stressful day, and even though it's only 6:30, you have put on your most comfortable pajamas and your scruffy slippers. You don't look good, but you're comfortable. The rest of the family has been gone for 3 days. And you know it's exactly 3 days because that's how many dirty dishes are on the coffee table in the living room. You're halfway through the pizza that you had delivered, and someone knocks at the door. Friend, let me in that I might watch evening TV with you, for my cable has been shut off, and I need to know who will be the master chef, and I need to know which singer gets kicked off of The Voice. You turn around and you look at the living room, and you look at yourself, and you answer your friend at the door. I am ready for bed. The house is a mess. I cannot invite you in. Oh, what a nightmare. An unexpected guest demands entrance, and you are too embarrassed to let your house or yourself be seen. How do you deal with that pile of unfolded laundry on your sofa and that half-eaten pizza and all those dirty dishes on your coffee table? And look at you in those pajamas that are disgusting. Imagine the shame that you feel. You want to invite your friend to come in because that's the friendly thing to do, but you feel ashamed of the condition of your house and yourself. This is really a distraction meaning being pulled in two different directions. What to do? The friend in the parable we heard from the Gospel of Luke must have felt a similar pull when he refused to open his door at midnight. First century society demanded hospitality. Hospitality was not an optional choice. In that time and culture, hospitality was demanded. When a friend asked, especially for bread, one could not refuse that request. This parable could have started with the question, which of you would go to a neighbor at midnight and ask to borrow bread for an unexpected guest and be turned down? The anticipated answer to that question would be none of us. We don't have unresponsive neighbors. It's unthinkable. We can't imagine that such a request would be denied. The request to fulfill that duty of hospitality, if the neighbor didn't give, the friend would be inhospitable to his neighbor, to his friend. Unthinkable. But this neighbor has excuses. By unbolting the door, he's bound to wake up his children and the animals that were sharing that one room in that house. The storyteller continues, I tell you, even though he will not get up and give him anything because he is his friend, at least because of his persistence, he will get up and give him whatever he needs. Now, the problem with this traditional reading of the word persistence is that there's nothing in this parable that tells that the one at the door pestered the neighbor into providing bread. We're not told that he's standing and pounding at the door. We're not told that he's calling out repeatedly to be let in. He is making a simple request, not out of the ordinary request. The Greek word that is translated as persistence and applied to the guy at the door probably should be translated as its second meaning, meaning shamelessness, or in order to avoid shame, and applied to the person in the house because of his persistence, the guy in the house, his shamelessness. The man in the house finally responded, not because he was badgered, but because he feared the shame that would come with such a refusal. If the people in the village found out that he had denied a plea for hospitality, they would talk. Better to let the children be awakened and lose a night of sleep than to have the reproaches of the community when they heard that he had failed to fulfill a request for hospitality. Imagine yourself on that evening trying to eat your pizza and watch some mind-numbing TV while your friend is standing at the door. Maybe he isn't even knocking again, but you just have the sense that he's still on the porch. How shameful you would feel trying to relax in your living room knowing that you had turned away a friend. What if God were knocking at your door? How often does God knock at our door and we are too ashamed and we don't want to answer? We don't want God to know about our messy lives that are behind that door. We say to ourselves, God doesn't want to know that stuff about me. Or we say, if I tell God, then I'm going to have to change. Or at least I'm going to have to want to change. And I'm not so sure I do. Maybe Jesus didn't tell this parable to tell us about being persistent in prayer, or to tell us that we should be like that hospitable neighbor. Maybe Jesus told this parable to tell us something about God, to show us that God is always there. God is persistently and shamelessly knocking at our door. God is knocking, wanting to give us exactly what we need, wanting to give us the Holy Spirit. What a love God has for us. This isn't a love that will go away when our lives get messy, when our sinner side is so much more obvious than our saint side. Our God is persistent and acts in our lives all the time, despite the doors that we have closed against him, despite the doors that separate us from God. The man in the parable knocking at the door isn't a stranger, not even just a neighbor, but he is directly named as friend. God is our friend, who cares enough for us to stand at the door and knock, even when we are ashamed, even when we are too full of ourselves, even when we are too busy with our lives to get up from the chair and answer. God knows what kind of a mess is behind that door, but God continues to wait shamelessly, persistently for us to open up, to receive the gifts that God wants to give to us. Too often we stand behind the door, too ashamed to answer. And God is our friend who longs and desires to be invited in, to be in a relationship with us. God knows our pajamas are disgusting. God knows our house is a mess. God knows us and loves us and will not go away. The good news is that God is knocking and wants to give us good gifts, exactly what we need, the best gift of all, the Holy Spirit. Amen.